Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, settle down, settle down. It's time for another session of the Umbrella Podcademy. I'm your teacher, Alex. Hello.
Hey, does anybody think teacher's sort of out of ideas today? You just sort of introduced the class, like, no, no.
Teacher's tapped out, man. No more gas in the tank.
I feel, as a bad kid in a bag of class, I just feel like I should finally respect teacher, because got to the point.
Ha! I'm Justin. Got you. That was the lesson, Justin. All right, take it away, third person.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to talk about Umbrella Academy Season 3, Episode 6, Marigold. If you haven't watched it on Netflix, please go do. But in this episode, we're settling the Harlan situation quite definitively by the end of the episode, as he tries to teach Victor how to use his powers and ultimately give Harlan's portion of the power back. Meanwhile, Luther is exploring stuff over at the Sparrow Academy a little bit. Big jacket change. And Diego and Lila discover some big stuff happening in the Buffalo Room. Boom, boom. You know what goes on in the Buffalo Room.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Five hangs out with Biker Pogo and gets tatted up. So, that all said, lots of stuff to talk about in this episode. Where should we start? Justin, you seem raring to go.
We should probably start at the beginning with the Pogo flashback in the Pogo Dojo. Mm. And, I don't know a lot about raising kids, but like putting them in a Pogo Dojo sounds like a great idea, and looks like a ton of fun.
Yes, that was very The Matrix, Kill Bill, I think, purposefully.
Oh, so The Matrix, yeah.
Yeah.
And I heard in the next episode, Mojo Jojo is going to fight in the Pogo Dojo.
Wow. That would be fun.
Duh, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm sorry, I've watched ahead, and that's a no-go.
We got this. Well, it's interesting. I mean, the Pogo of it, I think we could talk about later. But this whole intro scene, it feels like it's about Ben. It's about Ben, like, sort of going hard and then losing in the end because maybe he's not being true to himself, perhaps, because we have the scene later where Luther's like, hey, I know there's a good Ben in there. And Ben's like, I'm tough. I do karate with tentacles and stuff. Like, I'm curious if maybe Ben's arc is going to be a major factor here in the last handful.
Let's hope so.
I will say... The way that you lay it out there, and this is going to sound like a harsher knock than I mean it to, but it's a little formless in terms of his arc. Like, I think it is a very strong idea to start with him and what's going on with him, because we have had this constant thing over the previous five episodes where people were like, hey, Ben, and he's like, leave me alone. I want no further information about anything that's going on here. And finally, with this episode, we do get that conversation in the middle with Luther where he asks about the other Ben. That's great. But the place we end up is him telling Faye, I'm not going to tell you why I'm bringing Luther in, ... And that doesn't seem to necessarily connect to the other stuff, at least yet. What were you going to say, Pete?
I just think it's one of those things where Luther said the thing kind of we've all been feeling is these kids haven't been the same since Ben died. Mm-hmm. And there's been a real kind of split. And, you know, he says, that, you know, the only thing that they kind of have in common is family trauma, which is a little fucked up because of what happened in the last episode. But I think it is a good realization and hopefully moves this evil Ben a little bit in the needle a little bit more on the good side, because Luther, I think you can tell that Luther is being honest, and it's kind of a touching moment that him and Ben have, even if evil Ben, you know, is so guarded.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to come out of the season with evil Ben just being nicer and becoming regular Ben for Umbrellas? Because at the end of the day, we can't really have Umbrellas and Sparrows. They occupy the same spot in the universe.
But so we're starting to get a little bit of a range.
You walk outside, you put a sparrow over your head, right?
That's exactly right. If you have enough sparrows, they can just be an umbrella, is what I say. You got to really train them. Really, yeah, like, really train them.
You can't. You can't take an umbrella and then fly away. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a one way.
That is very true. But just to get back to what Justin was saying,
Mary Poppins Pete. Have you ever thought about Mary Poppins Pete? She flies with an umbrella all
day. Every day of my life, motherfucker. Don't come at me like that.
Yeah, I'll just stay Poppins is all I'm saying. Yeah, it felt like you were flagging there on the Poppins world. No. Yeah. The only thing with a sparrow umbrella is you're covered in bird shit all the time. So
yeah, exactly.
Well, that's why you got to train them in the Pogo Dojo.
Yeah. The Sparrow Pogo Dojo doesn't work. Yeah. So it does feel like, or we're going to get a Ben sacrifice, which if you recall, that's what ended last season. And are we really going to double dip on a Ben sacrifice?
It does get to, and I know I keep harping on the same thing, but my frustration with the series where people don't seem to care about the same thing as I would in that situation, which I know is not a fair way of judging the show, but that across the board, the Sparrows are like, oh, you're from an alternate universe? Who cares?
Yeah.
Don't tell me any more information about that. No thanks, is very weird to me.
It is weird, and I agree, because it's not like Hargreaves, who is a dick in any universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, don't talk to them. I would think like kids would be like, well, my dad doesn't like this. I'm going to give it a shot.
Well, and on the opposite end of the spectrum, that's why I really like the Klaus Hargreaves thing that happens in this episode, where it is a different Hargreaves. And up to this point, he's been like, shut up, you stupid kids. Don't talk to me about anything that seems relevant in any way. And this episode, he's like, now that I'm off my meds, what's going on with you, Klaus? You could die? Great. I'm going to kill you to test out that theory.
Yeah.
Which finally, and I guess this was purposeful because he was on these meds.
Wait, finally he killed Klaus? That's what you're saying?
Well, but it feels more in line with the Hargreaves that we've known for the previous two seasons.
That's what you're excited to get back to. You're like, all right, sweet, back to evil dead.
It's in a new mode where you have this Hargreaves is dealing with the fact that he doesn't know Klaus. Klaus clearly has a relationship with him. He's like, all right, let's build this relationship. Here's how I build relationships, by killing you. So that to me tracks for the characters. It makes sense. And it feels like we're actually moving forward. We're progressing in some way versus this nonstop stonewalling that happens a lot of the time with a lot of the characters.
Well, and Hargreaves loves TJ Hooker. What do you think?
Oh, come on, TJ.
I think you that means he's got taste. You know what I'm talking about? No better show.
That's the cop show from like the late 70s, early 80s with William Shatner, I want to say.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a hooker named TJ. What? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think.
Progressive he's for the late 70s.
He's a cop. Pretend. It's like American Gigolo, but
yeah,
with William Shatner.
During the day.
Yeah, during the day and no gigolos.
More dramatic pausing.
Yeah, more dramatic pausing. By the way, this is a little side note. Do you guys watch Star Trek Strange New Worlds? Did you see they brought on a guy, Paul Wesley from Vampire Diaries, to play Kirk, and he's doing the same delivery as William Shatner? It's very weird.
Yeah, bold well,
you gotta do it.
Do you? I don't know.
Chris Pine didn't do it. Yeah, it seems like the thing not to do.
Yeah.
Because one person's famous for it, and then you should be going different.
How do you set up the dramatic pause? Maybe they do a smaller version of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is. Someone says, like, if you want to emphasize your point, Captain or Ensign Kirk, maybe you add more dramatic pauses to your speech.
You mean the origin. Like this?
Exactly.
All right, we got to go back to the Pogo Dojo here for a little bit. If you're walking out of, you know, let's say you get kicked out of your family, and you're just going to hand one person like a whole bunch of pills and not say anything? Isn't that a weird message?
Yeah. Well, I keep a lot of pills in my coat pockets and stuff in case I have to say a dramatic goodbye.
Oh, okay.
In case I get kicked. if you guys kicked me out of here, like, you're getting pills. Lots of pills.
First off, thank you. But I'm going to need more information. Like, don't take these or
just pills.
Take all of these. Like, what? You just can't hand somebody pills and keep walking. That doesn't make any sense.
That's a whole job. Pharmacists do that all the time. That's every day. that's their jobs. They hand people. They get kicked out of their families
every
day.
Yeah, but there's instructions on the bottles, but they're not clearly not. When you got all
the pharmacist doesn't know shit about it. Pharmacist is like, I don't know. This paper says, here's your pills.
That's actually their job to know. It's not.
I don't know. What pharmacist seems like an easy gig. No shout out. No knock to any pharmacists listening.
It seems like you're knocking the whole.
You stand by the tubes. The people walk over the big bags. You flip the lever. It pours a bunch of M&Ms in there, and you're good to go.
Yeah, exactly. Some sort of candy man.
Yeah. Oh, pharmacist. I was thinking the candy man, not the pharmacist. I'm sorry.
That's my pharmacist.
I was thinking about the guy who stands by the Pick-a-Mix in the movie theater. I don't think that's
guy
his job.
By the way, that guy's you. I think that guy's just you.
Yeah, that's not a job. Yeah. That's just
you stand just by you. The Pick-a-Mix trying to scrape up any loose Sour Patch.
Yeah, you just gotta. You know,
I gotta eat somehow.
You're Homer Simpsoning the Pick-a-Mix at the movie theater.
Nothing wrong with that. Good living.
I hold a bag under their bag just in case some stuff falls through.
Just getting their candy run off. Don't mind me. I'm a scumbag. back to Pete's Pogo's talk. Well, how did this monkey get jacked? Because he's jacked. Like that vest.
That's a great question, Justin. It's time to turn to the next section of our show. How did this monkey get jacked? Next up on this episode, Pogo.
I mean, you know, you're using your arms a lot when you're tatting. So, you know, it's.
You don't think he's in CrossFit or some sort of boot camp sitch?
He's running a dojo. He left the dojo.
He left the Pogo dojo.
But you're still going to be doing your exercises even if you get kicked out of your dojo. You know what I mean?
I don't know. He wasn't doing the exercise to begin with. He was just sort of pacing and telling people stuff.
Yeah, he was mostly doing logistics at the Pogo dojo.
You got to get to that level of sensei, you got to know your stuff to begin with.
Yeah. I will say I had my yearly physical recently. My doctor was like, hey, if you want to get some good exercise, give tattoos.
Yeah, and so, it really works your tiny finger muscles.
My finger muscles are jacked now.
I'm about to say to you, Alex, your fingers are jacked. Each of your fingers has a little six-pack on them.
I got some tight knucks going on, you know what I mean?
Tight knucks. That's why we call you tight knucks. My man tight knucks over here.
In any case, Pogo shows up. He's living in a trailer park with Tammy, I want to say.
Tammy, yeah.
Probably. Yep. And giving tattoos.
What do you mean, Pat, probably? That's her name.
I wasn't at that point in my notes. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Huge character.
Yeah. I don't know. It was nice, I guess, to see Pogo again. I wish there was more to it. I guess he gives some important information to Five in terms of Project Oblivion. We know about that now. Would love to hear your theories and what you think that is. Take it away.
Well, I do think so. We have Project Oblivion, and then we have Hotel Oblivion, which is the sort of upside down version of Hotel
Obsidian. The Buffalo's butt, if you will, of the
Buffalo's other. Butt, yeah. Which is that was what a revelation. Mm-hmm. But so I don't know. It feels like we're now getting closer to the comic book story that this was quite loosely based on. And then the idea, though, that like if the Kugelblitz was caused by this break in reality, by a paradox, is the idea now that if Five gets the tattoo, it's making that true? It's like making something, taking something that was, again, broken and bringing it to reality?
I guess, the time travel rules are a little wobbly on this show, I think, as well. But my impression is basically exactly what you said, that he's like, well, this is going to happen anyway. So that I can find this tattoo later, so I can get here, I am going to get this tattoo. And that'll close that particular causality loop. I don't know if we've seen that play out in exactly the same way or be necessary in other situations when they've time traveled on the show. But I guess it's fine that he did it.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what the overall point is, because Five sort of does it, but doesn't say why.
He says, like, oh, I'll do this just because the older me had it. So it seems like he's closing that loop.
But he's closing that loop. But I think the strange thing, if the world's ending and that's the old version of him, like, how does all this, it feels like he's, you know, sort of spitting in the wind.
Working against it.
It's just he's not doing much. He's just like, let me line up this tattoo.
Well, he's trying to gather all the information and then figure it out, you know? He's following the little clues that he has. And, you know, that little scrape of flesh is really coming in handy, you know? Mm-hmm.
Gross.
I always keep a bunch of them around. Whenever I see somebody with a cool tattoo, I just slice it off and put it in my suitcase.
I've been tattooing my grocery lists on some loose skin that I found, and it's cool, but it's hard to check stuff off, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're like Zaz, except for rolls of toilet paper.
Yeah, I know, and I keep writing, like, more toilet paper, more toilet paper. I don't know what's going on.
In any case, why don't we move on and talk about the Harlan and Victor storyline and Allison storyline, because that's a big one. As they train, ultimately, Allison discovers a couple of things over the course of the episode. One, it seems like she can rumor people without saying, I heard a rumor. That happens very briefly. And then she kills Harlan at the end and stuffs him in the truck, which is upsetting.
Wait, he wasn't dead. It seemed like he was just sleeping there, right?
Was it?
I think he looked dead to me, or he was made to appear dead for the sake of perhaps a ruse they're doing. I don't know. I mean, Allison, she is sort of slipping off the edge based on the awful things that happened last episode. And here we get this really great little moment of, what are you listening to with her at the beginning of the episode, talking to Harlan? What are you listening to? Your vibration. What's it sound like? Wrong. Yeah, I thought that was great and true.
Her line, you're not a pleasant person to be around.
Yeah. And which she made that sort of made that true by killing him. And then the part where
we don't know if he's really dead yet. You know what I mean?
Like, weren't his limbs all askew in the trunk?
It looked very uncomfortable, but the position he was in, for sure.
Were his eyes open? Because that's a telltale dead person thing.
Was his head attached to his body?
Yeah, it was. His eyes were a little bit open, but it was just, we only got to see it for a little bit.
He might be doing that creepy thing where, like, he's asleep, but his eyes are open a little bit.
Like having a dream.
Mm-hmm. Well, after being stuck in a trunk for who knows how long, you know, you're a little slow to get up, you know what I mean?
Most people in trunks, though, are traditionally dead. It's not like a spot you would ride.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie Out of Sight?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck in the trunk together.
That's an easy thing. That's an
George
easy answer.
George Clooney, bro.
George Clooney. Yeah. There you go. I was mixing up my
different
Batmans.
Batman. Yeah, you're mixing up your Batmans there. Yeah.
Christian Bale?
No.
When are we going to get all the Batmans together to really connect?
We got to stuff them in a trunk and let them hash this out. You know what I'm talking
Anyways,
about?
Anyways, what was weird was Harlan and Victor were like, hey, we fixed it. It's done. But then it seemed like we cut to Diego and shit was still going down. So it was like, I was a little confused as they felt like they fixed it, but it
What Victor and Harlan fixed is the energy that Victor had given Harlan when he healed him back in season two, back when he was drowning.
Harlan.
Yes. He took that back. Victor has that energy inside of him now, and Harlan doesn't have any of that energy. Harlan doesn't have any of that powers, and I think that's also why Allison is able to kill him, potentially.
Yeah, and Harlan tells Allison, like, yeah, I caused this whole thing, and Allison's like, oh, my mom, my family. Like, so she just acts rashly and kills him, brings him to the Sparrows. So I sort of feel like he isn't dead just because it's like – Allison's being set up to be a villain here, and I would think they have to pull that back at least.
I don't know if
bit.
She's being set up to be a villain, or is she is a villain? It seems like one of the things.
I mean, the show is telling us she's a villain, and I guess we'll see. But I thought it was interesting when she rumors Harlan there. The Victor power is in her, like her eyes go yellow, and she just. So I don't know if that means she has a little bit of it, or she's. There's a way that they can work together to do something, and maybe that's will help bring Allison back into the fold.
It just feels a little.
There's a moment there.
It feels a little confusing when there's a Kugelblitz killing everybody, and then two people, you know, like form their powers together and say, "We fixed it." You know, like
Well, and I agree with you. It's sort of, it's just like the five thing of like, he's like, I got a tattoo. And it's like, that's not super helpful when the world's being destroyed.
Yeah, like and, maybe don't stop for a tattoo from Pogo right here.
And Victor and Harlan are like, well, I got my powers back from Harlan. It's like, great. That's not helping.
We're not doing that really. Yeah. So.
The Kugelblitz has wrecked buildings now. It iced Stanley right out
that
of the...
That was a real emotional roller coaster of like, oh, he's probably got waved gone by now. And then you see him and then he gets waved gone. You're like, oh.
The only people, I mean, everybody is sort of exploring their own things, but without any particular purpose or focus on the Kugelblitz, like we're saying.
Which is weird because it seems like a super important thing. You know what I mean?
Well, down to the Sparrow Academy, who literally are supposed to be the biggest superheroes of the world and have it in their basement. Instead, they're like, time to get a new outfit for Luther. That's our main goal this episode. Let's do it.
Well, so I'm curious, is Ben's plan, let's hypothesize on Ben's plan here. Is his plan, he's trying to break up the Umbrella Academy, which, as we all know, very easy to do. They hate each other, sort of. Is the idea he's going to try to get Luther to go into the Kugelblitz once he's on the team? And maybe that will, because I got to think Ben, while being sort of a dick, he does want to be a good superhero. He wants to win and he wants to fight. So I think he has a plan that is ultimately getting back to the Kugelblitz, but it's just circuitous in a way that we're not shown at all here.
Yeah. I mean, he is large enough to block it, maybe, like get sucked into it. And then Luther's sort of stuck in there, like his little legs waggling out like Winnie the Pooh stuck in a door.
Think that's where this...
we're headed for a classic Poodor situation.
We're sorry, classic.
Now, he was eating a lot of butter, and butter goes in the same cabinet as honey, and Winnie the Pooh likes honey, so maybe it's a little bit of a clue there.
Wow, that's really...
Same cabinet?
Not a,
yeah.
Not
maybe
you gotta keep your butter in the fridge, dog.
Yeah.
No, not your like butter, your peanut butter. He's eating almond butter. Remember, he liked all those nut butters?
Oh, almond butter.
So maybe
sorry,
it's
you just
the
said
same
butter.
Thing.
You said butter. I didn't know. I was meant to assume it's some sort of nut butter.
You don't exclusively use peanut butter as your butter?
Like so you call peanut butter butter? What do you call butter? You call cow butter?
No peanut stick.
Nope.
The no peanut
stick? Yes, yellow no peanut stick. Hey, wow. Give me one of them yellow no peanut sticks from the fridge, unsalted.
I wanted to talk about a fun line from Luther a little bit where Ben
was
talking.
No, I want to talk about this more.
Okay. Well, let me just say, just to finish up the pre-butter rant, I do think that it does make sense. The one, if Ben is trying to solve the Kugelblitz, putting the umbrellas into it might work. They're the paradox.
That's true.
They're the
paradox. So like that at least feels like, if he's doing that, that feels like a good idea. Even though it may result in their deaths, he's like, this world is being destroyed by them. Let's see if we get rid of one of them and that helps.
I wish he would say that then to Faye at the very least. Like, be like, listen, here's my plan. My plan is let's get rid of the Umbrella Academy. They're causing it. Like, it would feel like anybody is doing anything, you know?
It would take 2 seconds, though, to get Luther. You just have to be like, hey, where's Sloan? You could be like, hey, Sloan, do you mind just stepping out of the room for a second? Hey, where'd Sloan go? Oh, she went to the Kugelblitz. He would just run and jump right in.
Very trickable, Luther.
Yeah.
But I think the point of that dojo scene was that, like, these people don't trust each other. As much as, like, the Umbrellas, we know they don't trust each other. Or they can't get along, but they do sort of trust each other at the core. And it's the opposite for the Sparrows. They don't trust each other, but they stay in line because they're so competitive and Hargreaves has them locked in. So I think maybe it's about Ben, if he had trusted people and been a sort of a better person, they would have this solved already.
I disagree. I think the Pogo Dojo, the point is tap out or pass out. That's the whole point of that.
Yeah. That's the way I go to bed every night.
What else should we talk about here? We haven't really, we touched on the Diego and Lila stuff a little bit, right? We talked about them going inside.
They go inside the cabinet.
Go inside.
The mystery tunnel. What kid can resist a mystery tunnel? I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's a mirror tunnel. There's a backwards hotel. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Still has sushi, though, so that's nice. And they ring the bell despite saying, don't ring the bell, and then something cuts Diego's fingers off.
Yeah, I mean, if you ring the bell and an evil person comes out and cuts your fingers off for ringing the bell, I mean... I kind of understand a little bit because that person clearly hates that bell. But man,
well,
that's a
I get
harsh...
it because I feel uncomfortable. Like when I like my local grocery store, the deli counter, it's like ring a bell for service. And I feel uncomfortable doing it because I don't want to be like I want service. You know.
Yeah,
but and after so, you've been standing there for a while, you kind of you do want service. You know what I mean?
Even the deli guy comes out, slices a couple fingers off. The local.
Do you get like a medium slice, or how do you slice your fingers?
I like my finger meat pretty thin.
Pretty thin? You wanted to see it. Then, huh?
What do you say, Sick Nux? When it comes to finger meat, you're the expert.
You can't cut these nux, man.
Oh, wow. Uncuttable nux?
Uncuttable nux.
No way, man.
I don't know. That blade that monster was wielding.
I've been
chatting
like a monster.
That's the final form of Sick Nux as a Pokemon. Sick Nux into unbreakable, uncuttable Nux.
Other moments from the episode you want to call out in particular?
Well, yeah. So, like, we have this, whoever this villain or probably hero, is the upside down world, do we have versions of, is this like a more badass Diego that could come through here potentially? It is crazy to be hypothesizing on a show that everyone's seen what happens. We're just saying stuff that's probably definitely untrue. But I thought that would be a cool idea. The fact that he loses two fingies going after Stanley, woof, what a bummer. As a parent, I don't want to lose any fingers. But if I'm losing one and the kid's not even in there, pissed.
That's not the first person who's lost a couple of fingers going after Stan Lee, though. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
Also, if the revelation, it's not his child. I think that's
that's probably important to bring up.
Yeah, I also really liked Lila's line of like, what are you talking about? I'm stress eating dead fish over here. You know, like their back and forth is very enjoyable. The two of them together are magic.
Yeah, what's the exchange? There's something like, you're crazy. And they're like, we met in an insane asylum. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then she's like, it's a stress test. You kick the tires a little bit. See how good you are. That was hysterical.
It's great that we have two characters who have matched, like Diego and Lila. It seems to be working. We got Luther and Sloane. We get a great Luther-Sloane scene here. They're like humping. They're going at it.
Yeah, she was like, yo, your bed squeaks. And that was fun.
It was so cute. She's like, I told you. The way when Luther is hiding.
That's what I was going to call it. I think that was my favorite moment in the episode was that shot of the door opening and Luther, enormous dude,
just standing there.
Oh, hey.
He's not even around it. He's not even around a corner. He's just leaning against the flat wall.
So funny.
He's just trying to flatten himself. It's great. But, I mean, speaking of a great doof, like, when Ben's like, hey, what's your game? And he's like, Yahtzee. Big
fan of Yahtzee.
Love it. Just hysterical that he's got that loaded and ready to go is just everything you need to know and love about Luther right there. It was tough, though, because I did want the show to at least kind of address what happened in the last episode. And it just Luther had like a little bit of a moment of like, you know, well, something happened and I'm not going to really talk about it, but I don't think I have a family anymore. And that was heartbreaking. And I wanted more a little bit, especially some regret on Allison's part would have been nice. But I don't know. It was I guess I was just a little disappointed in how it was handled, I guess.
In how it came spinning out of what happened last episode.
Yeah, I just wanted there to be a little bit more of a ramification, I guess, or a little
bit
more.
I think there will be. I feel like letting a little air, a little time pass from what happened and seeing Allison continue to sort of descend while
Luther
is
sort of... Yeah, now
she's just
throwing it around willy-nilly, like just using it on everybody. And Jesus.
So, I think we'll get to it. That feels like what's going to be part of the grand climax when it comes to the Umbrellas deciding to get it together or totally bail.
Cool. But it's also tough because it's like, you know, when she walks in at the end and it's like judging him for wearing a different jacket, it's like, fuck you, but you don't get to do that.
And she just gives him the eye roll, which I thought was a little scoff. Yeah. But think about it, like sparrows make sense. They travel in little together, you know? They fly together.
It's called Umbrellas. an umbrella of sparrows, yes.
Yeah, an umbrella of sparrows. Mm-hmm. Umbrellas? You trying to open seven umbrellas? No good.
But I did really
in the
like
same room?
The pogo slamming the door and then the kind of umbrella symbol forming in the glass. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just creative and fun.
Yeah.
Right,
do you
there.
Think anybody noticed that? They're like, whoa, that's weird. There's an umbrella on this sparrow. Yeah. I wonder if that means anything. All right, before we wrap up here, who got top marks this episode? Justin, who got top marks?
It's a lot's going on in this episode, but I got to give it to Luther. My guy Luther's, I've come to love the Luther character so much, so funny. And I think I said this last episode, but it does feel like he is coming back. He's getting his mojo from the Pogo Dojo back. And feeling like a hero, the way he talks to Ben, the way he's being direct with Sloan about his feelings rather than the way he played it with Allison in previous seasons, trying to like just be honest. Like he's able to have a good conversation with Sloan, really liking him. The fact that he's become a sparrow, he's Umbrella all the way through, no matter what cool jacket he's wearing. Luther's the guy.
Pete, what about you? Who got top marks this episode?
I was thinking about giving it to Tammy because she deserves it. But I might, you know, since Luther was taken, I might go with Pogo. You know, it was nice to see him back and also smart of him. You know, that little sit down in my trailer, I got a gun pointed at your nuts move. I mean, that's just classic stuff.
Yeah, you have all your tables in your house have guns underneath them, right, Pete?
Well, they used to. And not anymore. You know what I mean? I got downgraded. Yeah, I went from living a rated R lifestyle to G. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's much
better.
You got
to go to the store and you ask them for one of them gun tables at nut height. They'll know what you're talking about.
If you buy a gun table and don't ask about that, what do you buy the table for? You know what I mean?
It's so hard to assemble the IKEA gun table at nut height.
Well, you so got to have your measurements right. You got to have your measurements right.
Well, they have two of them. My favorite one is the Nutat table. It's very good.
While we're giving top marks, though, I got to shout out whatever artist airbrushed the side of the trailer with that sick Pogo Tammy romance art.
Sick, dude.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I'm going to take a little bit of a swerve here. I know this is different for me, but I'm going to give it up to Klaus this episode. I thought his rant to Hargreaves coming in and just laying out everything that happened to him and being like, and then I had soup, but first there was the bicycle girl. Very funny. One of the highlights of the episode for me. Really enjoyed it.
I did really like the shot of when Harlan and Victor were in the air and that was kind of being projected on the screen next to them. That was kind of a beautiful shot.
There you go. If you'd like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Umbrella Academy. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Podcademy on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. Until next time, class dismissed. Yes, dismissed.
Uncuttable Nux, my favorite teacher.